finding peace in his promise. So every year, commercials show us the same picture of Christmas, right? A perfectly decorated house, smiling children, an empty or no empty chairs at the table, no unpaid bills, no tension. But let me tell you about a woman that I recently spoke with after service. She smiled during the worship. She sang all the songs. She shook hands during and hugged during family time. But afterwards, she said, "This is the hardest Christmas of my life." See, her husband passed away earlier that year. The house was decorated, but it was quiet. The presents were wrapped, but unopened. The music was playing, but her heart was heavy. She said, "I don't feel joy. I feel fear. Fear of facing this season alone." That's when I realized something important. Not Christmas, nor even a great sermon today, can remove fear automatically from us. But it invites us to bring our fears to Him, to Christ. So Luke 2, 9 and 10. "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before me, and the glory of the Lord shone around me, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings and joy, or in great joy, which will be to all people.'" Okay, so this Christmas season is often described as the most joyful time of the year. Okay, we sing about it. We sing about peace on earth. We sing about goodwill towards men. We sing about joy to the world. Yet for many people, Christmas is not joyful, but is very heavy. For some, Christmas brings financial pressure. It brings family conflict, right? It brings loneliness or grief. It brings anxiety about the future. It brings fear rooted in loss, in health, and uncertainty. It is very possible to sit in this sanctuary or any other sanctuaries in the world filled with the lights, the music, the celebration, where your heart is filled with fear and anxiety, right? That's possible. I mean, it's, you know, we sit here and we think about it sometimes. How can you come in here and sing worship songs and have fear and anxiety? Well, I think we've probably all done it at one point or another, right? It's very, very possible. But notice something important. The first words spoken by heaven at the birth of Christ, it was not rejoice, right? The first one, Luke 9, 10, the first word spoken, "And behold, an angel..." Let me go back to number 10. "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid.'" That was the first words that the angel spoke. "Do not be afraid." See, God knew that before we could receive joy, that fear had to be addressed. God knew that. He knew that fear had to be addressed. Tonight we're going to learn about fear, or recognizing fear and anxiety, how they appear even in the birth of Christ, and in today's modern Christmas story, and how the coming of Jesus gives us the power to overcome both of those. So fear is a common human experience. Fear is not a sign of weakness in faith. It's actually a sign of humility. Throughout Scripture, some of the most faithful people struggle with fear. We'll talk about Abraham. Abraham feared famine. Right, Moses feared speaking. David feared his enemies. Elijah feared Jezebel. And Peter feared failure. Even during the coming of Christ, fear showed up repeatedly. Fear appears throughout the birth of Christ. Let's look at his coming carefully. Zechariah. He had fear of the supernatural. Luke 1, 12. "And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. this priest, right? This priest serving faithfully was afraid when God moved unexpectedly. Mary feared the unknown, right? Luke 1, 29 and 30. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Mary was not afraid because she lacked faith. Mary was afraid because her life was about to change. Okay, Joseph. Joseph had a fear for his reputation and responsibility. Matthew 1:12. But while he thought about these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife." Joseph feared public shame, uncertainty, and the weight of God's calling. Okay, the shepherds, you know, the fear of God's glory. Luke 2:9, "And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid." Fear appeared in the darkness, but in the presence of glory. Okay, so fear often comes when God's about to do something new. Okay, think about this. Fear showed up every time God stepped into someone's life during Jesus' birth. Every story that we read about, everything we read about in Jesus' birth, fear showed up and God stepped in, or fear showed up every time that God stepped in. So why? Because God interrupts our comfort before he transforms our future. Right? God's going to take us out of our comfort when he's got something for us to do. Okay, so think about it like this. It's like being awakened in the middle of the night by a knock at the door. Even if the person knocking has good news, the interruption itself creates fear. Okay, that's what happened to Mary, to Joseph, and the shepherds. Fear is often the sound of God knocking before blessings walk in. Okay, fear is like a foggy windshield. The road has not changed. The destination hasn't changed. But your ability to see clearly has. Many accidents don't happen because the road is dangerous, but because vision is distorted. Fear does the same thing to us spiritually. Okay, it makes mountains out of molehills and whispers that you're alone. Psalms 34 reminds us, "I sought the Lord, and he delivered me from all my fears." God doesn't always remove the road for us, but he always clears our windshield. Okay, fear grows when we focus on, you know, what might happen. Fear grows when we, you know, focus on what we cannot fix. It grows when we focus on what we do not understand. Those things, just fear will grow in those things. You know, Psalms 3:5, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Trust in the Lord. Anxiety is often the result of leaning on our own understanding instead of trusting God's sovereignty. Fear magnifies problems and minimizes God. A lot of times when we're fearful, right, when we have a lot of fear and anxiety in our heart, if you really, really look back and think about it, there probably wasn't a lot of God in your heart at that time, or in your mind. It was a lot more of the fear and the anxiety that was taken root in there. Psalms 34:4, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." Notice David does not say God removed all the problems. He delivered him from fear. The problems are still there. It's just David leaned into God. He leaned into him with his fear. Okay, fear is a thief. Okay, fear steals peace, it steals our joy, it steals our rest, and it steals our hope. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy. Fear is one of the enemy's most subtle tools. Okay, a couple that I once knew shared with me how fear nearly robbed them of their peace. They had just had their first child. The medical bills were stacking up. One paycheck was being delayed because of seasonal cutbacks in the work. Christmas was approaching, and the math didn't work. They said every night they laid awake asking, what if we can't provide? What if something goes wrong? Finally, they prayed together and said, Lord, we don't know how, but we trust you. A few days later, an anonymous envelope appeared in their mailbox. Inside was a handwritten note and a check covering exact amount that they were short. They said later, you know, God didn't give us extra. He gave us enough, and he gave us peace with it. Fear will continue to ask you, what if? What if, what if? Faith will tell you God is. The phrase, fear not. This is how important this one is. The phrase, fear not, or don't be afraid, appears over 300 times in Scripture, roughly once for every day of our year. This tells us something. God knows we will face fear, and we'll face it often. And he is faithful to meet us there every single time if we will meet him there. The reason why the fear nots and the do not be afraids, you know, it's the reason for this, it's not a coincidence, right? It's Christ. It's bringing us to him. It's our way to take those things to him. Luke 2:10-11. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you on this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The angel does not say, do not be afraid because life will be easy. The angel doesn't say, do not be afraid because nothing will go wrong. Au contraire, right? On the contrary for that. He says, do not be afraid because a Savior has been born. Peace is not found in changed circumstances. It is found in our Lord and our Savior. Okay, notice something powerful in this. The angel does not say, do not be afraid because Rome will fall. Right? Although that's what a lot of people wanted to hear at the time. He didn't say, do not be afraid because Rome will fall. He didn't say, don't be afraid because life will be easier. He said, don't be afraid, for the Savior is born. Because peace doesn't come from changing or change politics or change finances or change relationships. Peace comes from a present Savior. It's the difference between holding on to a life raft versus calming the storm. God doesn't always calm our storms, but God will always give us something to hold on to. Okay, Matthew 1:23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Okay, so fear thrives in isolation. Peace grows in the awareness of God's presence. You know, a man once shared his experience of spending Christmas Eve in a hospital room. No trees, no family dinner, just a steady beep of the machine. He said fear crept in when the lights went down. What if this was it, he asked. But he opened his Bible to Matthew 1:23, Emmanuel, God with us. He said that he realized something that night. If God is with me here, then I am never truly alone. He later said that the room didn't change, but his heart did. Okay, Psalms 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Okay, Jesus brings peace, not as the world gives. So John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Worldly peace depends on conditions. Right, Christ's peace just depends on his character, which is unwavering. Okay, Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a child is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. If the government of the universe rests on his shoulders, then your life does not need to rest on your shoulders. Somebody in here needs to hear that. Don't carry that burden. That's what he has promised us. Let him carry those burdens for you. You ever watched a child carry a grocery bag meant for an adult to carry? They try. They strain. They sometimes drop things. Many of us are carrying things. We're carrying financial pressures, especially this time of year, family expectations, emotional pain, things we were never meant to carry. Christ reminds us those burdens were built for his shoulders and not ours. So I want to give you four practical steps to overcome fear and anxiety during Christmas time. Okay, the first one is bring fear to God in prayer. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Jesus Christ. Bless you. Prayer is not pretending fear does not exist. Right? Prayer is not gonna, you're not gonna pretend fear doesn't exist by praying. Praying is placing fear exactly where it belongs, on his shoulders. Okay, the second one is replace fearful thoughts with God's word. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You cannot control every thought, but you can choose which ones that you want to feed. Okay, the third one I want to give you is worship in the midst of the fear. The shepherds do not stay frozen in fear. So when they came down and talked to the shepherds, right? They didn't stay frozen in fear. They moved towards worship. Luke 2:12. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and they had seen. Worship shifts our focus from fear to faith. The shepherds could have gone back to their fields and said, that was terrifying. I think, you know, it's reality, right? If God came down and talked to us, or an angel came down and talked to us, your first thought might be, this is terrifying, right? But the shepherds didn't say that. Instead, Scripture tells us they went back praising God. Okay, worship isn't pretending fear doesn't exist. It's declaring that fear does not get the final word. Okay, the fourth one I want to talk about is walk in community. Fear grows in silence. There's no other way around it. If you're isolated, if you you know, you hunker down because something's going on and you got a lot of fear and anxiety in you. Fear grows in that silence. We talk about this in our grief share class quite often is sometimes the most important nights that you need to be at a class, a grief share class, or in a service like this are the nights that you're hurting the worst, the most, but they're also the hardest nights to get out of the house and come down here. But they're the nights that we need to be here. We need to be around our brothers and sisters, right? Healing grows in godly fellowship. Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So that's four little nuggets that are really good. If you're having a hard time with anxiety and fear, those are just four really good ones to focus on and not focus on fear and not let fear have that last word. Yeah, absolutely. Kathy, you want to come on up? Yeah, absolutely. The birth of Christ reminds us that God enters dark places. When we're in our darkest, God will meet us there. God keeps his promises. God is not distant. God is faithful. When children are afraid of the dark, parents don't remove the night. They add a light. Jesus didn't come to remove all darkness instantly. He came as a light in the darkness. John 1:5. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. You are not alone. You are not forgotten, or you're not forgotten. You're not abandoned. Fear may visit. Anxiety may knock. But light has already moved in. Light's already there. Don't let that fear take over. Light's already there. So in conclusion, this Christmas, the invitation is not to deny fear, but surrender to it. Recognize it. Know that you've got that fear, that anxiety. Let Christ put it on his shoulders. He has promised us that he will do that for us if we just let him. The angel's message still echoes today. Do not be afraid. Not because life is predictable. Not because problems disappear, but because Christ has come. And when Christ reigns, fear cannot rule. So, Lord God, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for the word that's in the book, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for giving us a roadmap for all the problems that we have, Lord, and for giving us the solutions that are already, they're already written down. Lord, we thank you for the opportunities to be able to talk about these things and learn about these things, Lord. And then we thank you for the opportunities that we're going to have now, Lord, this week as we go out into our community, into our families, Lord, and people tell us that they're having a lot of anxiety because of this time of year, Lord. Thank you for giving us those little nuggets that we can take out there. We can tell them, hey, have you tried praying? You know, have you tried giving those to Christ? Have you tried, you know, being around other people, being in a community, a godly community? So we just thank you for those, Lord. We thank you for the service today, Lord. We thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for the touch that you put into this church and everybody involved in this church, Lord. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit just laying on those people today and laying on their hearts to want to go in and get baptized, Lord, to confess that they are done living the way that the world sees us to live, Lord. And they want to live through you and in you, Lord. So we just thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the souls that they're going to bring to Christ, Lord, for the people that they're going to bring to get to know you through their salvation, through their baptisms, through everything that you're going to be doing through them, Lord. And we just thank you. We pray for this week as we go forward, Lord. Just give us opportunities. Give us those moments this week to where it doesn't matter if we're standing in the line at the superstore. Give us those moments to where we have an opportunity to share your word and share how good this season could be through you, Lord, and through just focusing on you and focusing on the birth of Jesus and everything that brings. So we thank you, and we just love you, and we honor you, and we give you all the glory and all the praise ahead of time, Lord. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.